Well, good morning, fellowship. We are coming live from the edge today. And so, yes, give it up. Yeah. And so let me say good morning to everybody in the worship center that are in the chapel. Of course, everybody that's watching us online, Benton and Cabot, it's good to be with everybody. You can probably notice there on your outline that today I want us to talk about the good life. The good life. Which really, that begs the question, of course, what is the good life? How do I get the good life? Where do I find the good life? And that's such an important question, because it seems like fewer and fewer people are experiencing satisfaction and contentment in their lives. The most recent study that just came out says that about 30% or so of Americans would say they are content and happy with their life. By the way, that is the lowest that number has ever been. And so there's this sense of restlessness, of people looking for the good life, but fewer people are finding the good life. The Earth Institute just came out recently with its annual World Happiness Report. They put it out every year, and what they do is they rate the happiness of every country in the world. And one country this year saw its ranking drop more than any other country. Do you want to guess what country that was? USA. Yeah, that's a good guess. The USA. Yes, the United States. We dropped, listen, from 11th to 17th. Just a few years ago, we were in the top five. We are a country, we are a people where folks are not finding the good life. They're not discovering that satisfaction and that contentment that we all long for. And Jesus says that in this quest to have a good life, that we attach our lives to some kind of voice. He calls it a shepherd. A shepherd. Someone who can guide us and give us the life that we long for. The Bible repeatedly says that we're like sheep, in that we need help because we can't find the good life on our own. And it's not just the Bible that's telling us that. The culture is telling us that, and the culture's been telling us that for a really long time, that left to ourselves, we can't find the good life. Bruce Springsteen has this old song where he says, "Everybody has a hungry heart." Everybody has a hungry heart. This idea that every human heart is hungry, that there's this desire that we all have to fill that emptiness on the inside of us, and we try to fill it with all kinds of things that ultimately leave us empty. You know, I'm 45 years old, and I'm at that age where you begin to see the cracks in people's lives. What I mean by that is the dreams and the hopes of that they thought their life was going to turn out to be. It didn't turn out that way. And the cracks and the pain start to show up in their life. You start to see those cracks. And what Jesus has for us today in this passage from the Gospel of John is going to show us that life in this world is pretty dangerous. That there are bad shepherds out there. There are bad voices out there that are calling out to us, that offer life to our hungry hearts, but in the end, they just leave us feeling empty. I want you to go in your Bibles with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. And we're continuing in our series on the Gospel of John. And we come to chapter 10. And remember that this is a biography of Jesus' life, written by one of his closest friends, the Apostle John. And he's writing to us and speaking to us. And chapter 10 here can really help us. Here at Fellowship, we believe that when we gather as a people and we hear God's word, that God is with us. That this book, this word, God's word, it's living and active, and it speaks to you and it speaks to me. And so no matter what you may be facing today, God can help you. Something that we talk about today is for you. Now, before we jump into John chapter 10, I want to remind you that when John wrote this gospel, there were no divisions or chapters or verses. Those came much later, in about the 13th or 14th century, is when those were added to the Bible that you have in your hand. And so what we see here in chapter 10 is a continuation of what took place in chapter 9. Where you remember last week we talked about that Jesus has this encounter with a blind man and he heals this man. And after that he gets in this sharp discord, actually this disagreement with these religious leaders. And here in chapter 10, he's going to summarize all that happened in that chapter, chapter 9. So here's what he says, John chapter 10. We're going to read through all 20 verses here. John chapter 10, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to follow along up here on the screens with me. But here's what Jesus says about this. Just a continuation of all that just happened in chapter 9. Here's what he says about it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me, they're thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. The charge I have received from my Father. There was again a great division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? See, so here in chapter 10, we see this continuation, this debate, this discord that's been between these religious leaders. And Jesus starts this passage out at the outset with a parable, with a story about a sheepfold in the first few verses. Going back into ancient times, what shepherds would do is during the day, they would lead their sheep out to feed, to graze, and oftentimes they might even take their sheep into hostile territory. But at night, they would bring their sheep back to what is called a sheepfold. Oftentimes in a town or a village, there would be one sheepfold that all the people in that town and village, all the shepherds, would share. It more or less is like a pen for sheep. And the shepherd would lead his sheep through a gate into the sheepfold. And then what the shepherd would do is under the auspices of darkness, he would sleep oftentimes out with the sheep. And the reason he did that is oftentimes what would happen is thieves and robbers would come at night to try to grab and steal the sheep. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And Jesus is trying to get a point across to his original audience and to us that life isn't safe. That we live in a world where people come and try to lead us astray. That we live in a world where there are bad shepherds who have bad voices and they try to rob us. They're thieves who try to rob us of true life. Now, who are these thieves that Jesus is talking about? The thieves are these religious leaders who Jesus has been battling now all the way through chapter 9 into chapter 10. The Pharisees, a group of people who read the Bible and followed all the rules, but ultimately they missed Jesus and his grace. And Jesus is saying these guys are thieves. They're leading you astray. You can't listen to their voice. You can't trust them. You can't bank your life on what they're saying. Jesus is telling us that there's some bad shepherds out there and that they don't really care about us. And notice that Jesus says about these guys, these thieves that are leading us astray. Down in verse 13, he says they care nothing for the sheep. They don't care for the sheep. They offer promises and lies to us, but ultimately when we try to feed our hungry hearts with those lies, they leave us empty. They promise to fill our heart, but when we taste what they offer us, they never, ever satisfy. They're thieves. They're robbers. And it leaves us wanting more from this life. It leaves us still looking for the good life. Now, what I want to do today is I want to answer three questions about the good life. Or as Jesus talks about it in verse 10, the abundant life. Here are those three questions. Why don't we have the abundant life? What is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about here? And then last, how do we get this abundant life, this good life that Jesus is talking about here? Those are the three questions that we're going to work through here in these 20 verses in John chapter 10. So the first question is this: why don't we have this abundant life? Well, the answer is simple: thieves. We've been lied to. We've been lied to about where we can find the good life, where we can find true life, and it has left us hurting, and it's left us in pain. This week, I sat down and I just wrote down four lies that I think we're prone to, that I think we succumb to in Greater Little Rock. These are lies that thieves offer up to us with this illusion that they will provide a good life. These are lies that we believe that ultimately satisfy that hungry heart that we have. Here's the first lie. It's the lie of money. The lie of money. It's the lie that says, get more and you'll be satisfied. Get more money and more stuff and you'll find joy and satisfaction in your life. This idea, this lie that money can satisfy that deep hunger in your heart. It's the lie of money. And yet what we're discovering is, and what researchers are telling us, and what all the studies are pointing to, interestingly enough now, is that actually the more money you have, the trajectory of your life around happiness and contentment is actually the complete opposite. It's going downward. That's what all the social studies are showing us now. But it's the lie of money. And many of us believe that lie. We buy into that lie, this illusion that, you know what, if I can just get more stuff, if I can just get more money, that's going to somehow satisfy that hunger that I have in my heart, that desire I have to taste the good life. Or it's the lie of success. The lie of success. Achieve your dreams and be successful, and then you'll be content. You'll finally be happy. And some of us believe that lie. In fact, for some of us, listen, we push that lie off into the lives of our kids, where we set these, listen to me, these unrealistic expectations for our kids around their grades and around sporting activities because we want them to be successful. And so we push them in unhealthy ways to be successful. Now, I want you to hear me. I have four kids. I understand that we need to appropriately push our kids at times. But sometimes what their success becomes about is it really becomes about our success and how we look as parents. It's that place where we try to fill that hungry heart that we have with the lie of success. And it doesn't satisfy us. It's not the good life, but it's a lie that robs a lot of us of that true joy of the good life that we can find. Here's another one, the lie of religion. A lie of religion which says, be really a good person and follow all the rules. Do all the right things and God will accept you, listen, and be happy with you and give you a happy life. So many people, particularly in the South, believe the lie of religion. It's a lie. And it will ultimately rob you of the good life. Here's another one, the lie of relationships. By the way, there's so many other lies that we could go through. Earn that person's love, secure their love, then you're going to be okay. That person's never going to leave you. That person's never going to disappoint you. It's the lie of relationships. And you see all of these lies that are out there that we try to wrap our hungry hearts around, thinking that somehow that's going to satisfy us and bring us the contentment that we long for, that maybe the good life is found in that lie. And so Jesus steps in to this environment of all these thieves, all these robbers, or as he uses even a term down here, these hired hands. And Jesus has a message about all of this deception, all these lies. Listen, we've all been attacked by these different thieves, by these different lies that we try to fill our hungry hearts with. And Jesus says this. This is the crux of the passage in verse 10. Look what he says to us. In fact, if you're someone that likes to write in your Bible, I encourage you, circle or underline this verse. Here's what Jesus says about it. He says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I came that you might have the good life. Now, why do thieves come? Why do thieves come? Jesus tells us real clearly. They come and they share these lies. They promise you that if you'll feed your hungry heart with these lies, that you're going to be satisfied, you're going to be content, you're going to be happy. And yet we know that about 30% of the people that live in the United States would say that they're happy and content. That means 70% of us aren't. And so our hearts are still hungry. They're longing. And Jesus says, what do thieves do? They steal, they kill, and they ultimately destroy us. They steal. In other words, they take life away from you. They take life away rather than give you life. They kill in the sense that they suck life right out of you rather than give you life. And then last but not least, Jesus says they destroy you. Ultimately, They ruin your life rather than give you life. At the outset of this passage, Jesus wants us to know that in Little Rock, in Benton, and in Cabot, and in Bryant, and all over this state, it's full of thieves. It's full of lies that want to deceive you and destroy you. And ultimately what these lies do is they suck the life out of you. They steal away that life rather than give you life. They ruin your life. And someone is behind all of this. Someone is working in all of this lies and deception. We met him in John chapter 8, where he's called the father of lies. In other places in Scripture, he's actually called a destroyer. Peter refers to him as a roaring lion who seeks to devour you and me. His name is Satan. And he offers all kinds of lies out there, and he is seeking to destroy our lives here. We are doing battle with the lies that keep us from true life, the good life that God came to offer us. So what keeps us from this abundant life? Well, thieves do. We try to fill our hungry hearts with their lies and their deception. That keeps us from living and enjoying the abundant life. So the second question is this: what is this abundant life? What is this abundant life? Look again at verse 10, where Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." Now, two very important words there. It's the words, "I came." Do you hear the grace in that? That Jesus came. He initiated toward you, and he initiated toward me. He came after you, he came after me because he loves us. Because he's the good shepherd. And he knew, left to ourselves, left to our own devices, with our hungry hearts, that we would never be able to find the good life on our own. So in his great love, in his grace, Jesus came. And he came so that we could have life abundantly. What is this abundant life that Jesus is talking about here? Well, let's talk about what it's not first. It's not come to Jesus and you're going to have this amazing life that has no struggles and no challenges. That's not the abundant life. This is not a life where you're in total control and everything goes just the way you want it. That's not the abundant life. It's not, hey, my life is going to be filled with all kinds of comfort and material blessings. That's not the abundant life that Jesus is talking about here in John 10, verse 10. Here's abundant life. Abundant life is this. It's a life of walking with Jesus. That's what the abundant life is. It's a life of me walking with the good shepherd every single day. That's the abundant life. It's a life having joy. It's a life having peace. It's a life having hope. Ultimately, it's a life having God. That's abundant life. I love the way Corrie Ten Boom, a woman, a great woman of faith, describes this abundant life. She uses an acronym to describe what faith is, what the abundant life is, and she says it's this. She says it's a fantastic adventure in trusting Him. I love that. That's what a life of faith is. That's what an abundant life is. It's a fantastic adventure in trusting Him in the ups and the downs of life. That true satisfaction for your hungry heart The abundant life, the good life is found when we trust in Him. In every area of our lives, every day. That's the abundant life. And guess what? Jesus came out of His great love for you and for me. He initiated so that we could have this life. Look what it says in verse 11. Look what Jesus says about this. He follows this statement of the good life, the abundant life, and He says of Himself, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Listen, being a shepherd requires some things. It requires dedication. It requires courage. It requires selflessness. But hear me, it requires sacrifice. Sacrifice. A shepherd would not let a wolf or a predator or an attacker just come and attack one of his sheep. What a shepherd would do is they would put themselves between the predator and the attacker and the sheep. You go all the way back to the Old Testament if you remember the life and the story of King David, who started out his life as a shepherd. He battled a lion and a bear. And that's what our shepherd has done for us. Jesus says, I laid down my life for my sheep. That's you and that's me. What Jesus is saying in this passage is that we were absolutely surrounded by our enemies. We were surrounded by our sin. We were surrounded by the sin of others. We were surrounded by forces that wanted to destroy us and take away our life, devastate us, and leave us for dead. And what the Good Shepherd did is He came down. And He stood between us and all these forces and enemies that ultimately wanted to destroy us. And He came and He laid down His life. And He let our sins and the sins of others, these things that would swallow us up, He let them swallow Him up. He's the Good Shepherd who laid His life down so that we could live. I can't believe that someone would love me that much. But we have a good shepherd. But friends, what use is a dead shepherd? What use is there in a dead shepherd is absolutely useless. Except our shepherd didn't stay dead, did he? He's alive. In fact, in verses 17 and 18, notice what Jesus says. He says, our shepherd laid down His life and then He took it back up again. That He had the authority to take it back up again, and now He even shepherds us today, having defeated death and having defeated the forces that were against us. So now He's our good shepherd. And He guides us. He cares for us. He tends to us. He loves us. His sheep. We have a shepherd. Someone that's for us and with us. I want you to notice in verse 3, it says that as His sheep, we experience three things from the Good Shepherd. By the way, this would be a great way to know whether you're actually one of His sheep or not. One of the things that we experience when we are walking with the Good Shepherd is we hear His voice. Do you see that there in verse 3? We hear the shepherd's voice. It's interesting throughout history that Western shepherds, the ones that we know about, they drive their sheep from behind. They prod them along, oftentimes with a sheep dog. That's what we see. But in the Eastern culture, in the day of Jesus, that's not the way they drove sheep. The shepherd would actually be out in front of the sheep. And he would lead the sheep by his voice, by hollering and whistling, and the sheep would follow his voice. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Some of you that don't know him, he may even be calling to you today. Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Here's another thing that Jesus says. He says another thing that we experience, life with the Good Shepherd, is we are known. I love that. We are known. It says he calls his sheep by name. I love that. He calls his sheep by name. God knows you so intensely in such a personal way. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. What's interesting is that shepherds would name their sheep. Much like we name our dogs or our pets. And we do that out of affection and care and love for them. And some of our pets, they're a part of our family, aren't they? They're like one of us. These shepherds would, they knew their sheep that intimately. In fact, we have stories in church history of shepherds actually calling sheep out of the sheepfold by name, one after another. And your good shepherd knows you like that. He knows everything about you. Yes, he knows your checkered past. He knows everything about you. He even knows the hairs on your head. And he loves you. He cares about you. And he pursues you. He knows you. Jesus is not saying here, this is not a corporate statement that Jesus is making here in John, in verse 3. This isn't the idea that Jesus came to care for the whole world. Although he does care for the whole world, this is a statement that Jesus came because he cares about you. He cares about me. This is intensely personal. It's about you, one of his sheep. One of his sheep. So one of the things that we experience when we're walking with the shepherd is we are known. He knows everything about us. He cares about us. He pursues us. We hear his voice. And then lastly, we follow him. We follow him. We can trust where the good shepherd takes us. We can relax in his love. And I realize some of you may be battling some real issues in your life, some pain and some struggle. And you're wondering yourself, why did the good shepherd lead me to this place? And the struggle in your life right now may be so intense, but know this, the good shepherd led you into this place and you have to trust that he has data that you don't have. He knows everything. He knows this world and he knows what's best for you, and you have to trust him. He has good reason for what he's doing in your life. And so many times when I look in my past at moments where I've thought to myself, God, you're ruining my life. Or I've asked the question, God, why are you doing this in my life? Time and time again, as I move through that and I look back, I see that the good shepherd was caring for me all along the way. He knows what he's doing in your life, and he knows what he's doing in mine. So the final question is this. How do we get this abundant life? How do we get this good life? It's really pretty easy. You have to admit you're a sheep. You have to humbly acknowledge who you really are. That you need help. That you're not really the shepherd of your own life. You have to admit you need help. That you need someone else to guide you, to lead you, to follow. That you can't do this on your own. Hey, listen, if you go out and try to fill that hunger in your heart on your own, it's only going to leave you empty and unsatisfied and unhappy. Because only Jesus can bring you the good life, the true life. You have to hear his voice. You have to follow his voice. And some of us need to ask for forgiveness because we haven't been listening to his voice. We haven't been following his voice, even some of us who are Christ followers. We've allowed all these other things into our life to crowd out his voice. And we need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to listen to the voice of the shepherd, and we need to follow his voice. Do you hear his voice? The voice of the good shepherd who loves you and cares for you and is pursuing you. Hey, listen, some of you in here don't know God. You don't know the good shepherd, and he's calling out to you today. You know what he's saying to you? Do you know what the message of the gospel is? Do you know what the message of the good shepherd is? It's just three words. I love you. I love you. That God would love us like a good shepherd. That he would guide us and lead us and love us and think about us and care for us, that he would love us like that. And listen, if you don't know the good shepherd, guess what? He's after you. He's pursuing you. You may not know it, but he's after you. He's on a mission. Jesus has a mission. And that mission ultimately is to add more sheep to his fold. Look at what he says in verse 17 as we wrap up here. Here's what Jesus says. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. I love that promise. We should have great confidence, fellowship, as we live out our mission together to make disciples at home and across the world, that they will listen to his voice. Hear the promise in that? How are these people who don't know the good shepherd, who are searching for the good life, how are they going to hear his voice? They're going to hear it through you. They're going to hear it through me. They're going to hear it through us. Fellowship, we are a community of sheep. And as we enjoy this abundant life that we've been together, that we've been given together more and more, the good life that Jesus brings us, people are going to see what we have. They're going to hear the voice of Jesus among us. Our words and our lives will tell them about Jesus, and they will listen. Listen, friends, just this week, God, the good shepherd, led four new sheep into his fold. This week at our FSM ministry here on the Little Rock campus, our student ministry, four students heard the message of the shepherd, heard his voice, and they responded, and they have the good life. And my hope and prayer for us as a church, as a people, is that we would enjoy the true life that the shepherd has brought us, the good life, the abundant life, more and more. And as we scatter from this place into our families and our homes and all across this city, that people would hear his voice through our words, but most importantly, through our lives. And friends, that more sheep would come into the fold for his glory and for his fame. That's his mission. That's our mission. Let's pray together. Can I ask you one question this morning? Do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you hear his voice in your life? Is your heart hungry this morning? Maybe you've been filling it with all kinds of things, but you have no contentment, no happiness, no joy in your life. And it's because the only one that can bring lasting satisfaction and contentment and happiness to your life, the only one that offers the good life, true life, is Jesus. Do you hear his voice? Maybe he's even calling to you in this moment because you don't know him. He does that, the scriptures tell us, through his Spirit. Maybe the Spirit, even now, is working in you. Would you respond like those four students did to the shepherd's voice? Would you acknowledge your need for a shepherd? That you're a sheep who needs guidance, that left to yourself, you'll never find the good life. Would you open up your life and heart, even now, to the good shepherd, the one who can bring you abundant life? And for the rest of us, who maybe are Christ followers, maybe we've believed in the good shepherd, but man, we've let a lot of bad shepherds and a lot of bad voices crowd out the shepherd in our life. And we have filled our hearts and our lives with all kinds of lies. And if truth be known, we're being robbed of the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And maybe what you need to do this morning is you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to ask that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, would make his voice the only voice in your life. And then maybe once again, in a new and fresh way, you would experience the good life that Jesus came to bring you. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.